Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here and fired up for this awesome day because I get to introduce somebody you formerly know, one of my best friends, Matt Dietz. Matt, you ready to roar, my friend?
Come on, my man. I am more than ready. You know that.
Come on, baby. Okay, so Roar Nation, check this out. Matt is a contributor to Are You Real? And what you guys don't know, what I love, is Matt has actually introduced me to several people. Another contributor is Michael McIntyre, who does business for us sometimes. Matt introduced me to McIntyre, who introduced me to Sean Bowles. It's just really fun to see the chain of people, that how we've gotten connected. And behind the scenes, what's been really cool is Matt has got me guests and brought on people, and even with his contribution to the show, has brought on some amazing guests for the music side. And today I'm excited about that because I don't think most of you know this, but Matt is a phenomenal songwriter and artist. So we are going to jump into that today, Matt. So you ready to do it?
Yeah, man. Thanks, bro. I appreciate you having me and wanting to interview me.
Yes. Awesome. Okay. So, Matt, I want to jump in. I'm going to backtrack probably, man, this might be 5 years. So, one of my favorite songs that you wrote 5 years ago, which was actually one of your hit songs on your CD, was Galaxy.
Yeah.
And I love that song. I highly recommend if we can get our editor, Paul, to do a clip it. I'm going to throw in Galaxy too. I love that song. Maybe we can do a clip and we'll do one of your new songs too. But the reason I liked Galaxy was, and you'll remember this, but this is what was cool. So Matt and I owned a construction company for several years together, and we did a job for a really phenomenal artist named Randy Freemel. So we're throwing Randy out there for fun. If you guys get a chance, look up Randy Freemel. Guy is an amazing artist.
Yes, he is.
And he did a picture for you, right? Why don't you tell our audience kind of what happened there? Because that was a really neat thing, how that happened.
Yeah, so, obviously was producing that record. It was something, after a 10-year hiatus away from music, it was something going back into it. And I really, I knew that Galaxy was going to be the title track on the record, and I wanted to do something that really put an image to what I was trying to say in words. And so I had a conversation. We had just gotten done on a project for Randy at his house and knew that he was a phenomenal artist and had seen some of the work that he had done for different Catholic churches and different places, different churches, a lot of paintings of Jesus and that sort of thing. But I asked him to kind of go outside of his wheelhouse a little bit and do something abstract that conveyed a picture of the word image that I was painting in the song itself. And he did a phenomenal job of that. It was actually just a really kind of a prophetic picture of what the song was saying. And I love that, man. He's an incredible artist. If you haven't seen his stuff, go find him. I know he's on Instagram, and you can see a lot of his work on Instagram. He does a great job. Randy Freemel.
Yeah, that's cool. Randy doesn't even know we're giving him a shout out. So maybe a bunch of people go check him out. So this is what was cool is that I like what you did, though, because you took his painting, which was phenomenal. And then you're just so creative in yourself. You kind of even amped it up to like from a like he had it at like a 9 and you put it at like a 10 plus because I remember you did some like digital imaging on your phone and messed with it and just kind of highlighted it and just made it look even that much more better for your album.
Yeah, it was already phenomenal, but I wanted it to really pop digitally because it did pop in person, but I wanted it to pop digitally, so we enhanced it a little bit. But yeah, it looks amazing. He did a phenomenal job.
Okay, so Matt, let's back up a little bit. I don't know if we've ever really gotten into, and actually, you know what I just realized, dude? You were my very first interview ever, I think.
Yeah, I was.
Actually. You're number one, dude.
Probably because you didn't have anybody else to interview.
You're number one.
I am number one.
I love that. Okay, so Matt, let's jump into a little bit about passion. And a lot of conversations you and I have had in the past. The reason I want to talk a little bit about passion, I love your story in the sense that you were, your dad's a phenomenal artist. Your brothers are too. You guys come from a music family, but you took a backseat to that. You kind of let your gift go dormant for a while. And I want you to tell our audience about that because you pursued your passion and then you shelved it for a long time. And I think you were miserable. Which says a lot, because if it's in you, it's got to come out.
Yeah, I think it was more like a crucifixion than it was a show. I literally murdered that gift for about 10 years. And, you know, passion is there, but when you're not feeding that passion, it has a tendency to starve you. and it did, it starved me spiritually. It starved me, creatively, it starved me emotionally. And I, you know, I, a lot of times I get bent out of shape a little bit when, different people talk about how, you know, they'll say a phrase like, oh, he's got his identity wrapped up in music, or he's got his identity wrapped up in this or that. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course he does. Cause it's part of who he's created to be. I mean, what else do you expect? So I get a little bit out of shape when people talk about that to some degree. And I understand how, you know, a lot of times people can take it the wrong direction and go the wrong direction with their gifts and really serve their gifts instead of allowing their gifts to serve, you know, the Lord and serve the masses. And so I get that. But at the same time, you know, in some way or another, we can't help but get our identities wrapped up in the things that we're passionate about because it's part of who we are. It is who we are. And so, yes, I'm passionate about music. I'm, you know, the funny thing is, like, I'm not passionate about music to the point of, you know, trying to pursue it to the end that a lot of people pursue music by trying to go on tour or trying to end up in a large position at some church, you know, writing or leading or things of that nature, because it's not the only part of who I am. And I recognize other gifts and other aspirations that I have in the form of business and other ways that I lead. So, you know, it's a funny thing. I think every person who has a gift in something or is gifted at something pursues it to a different extent. And I think we've created a blanket ideology of what the pursuit of passion in the form of gifts really is supposed to look like. And the reality is that every single person should have a different skew or a different, when I say skew, I mean SKU, like you would see on a label product or something like that. We all have a different skew, which means we all go to a different distribution platform. We all go to a different place with the things that we're created for. And so not all of us are going to fit in that wheelhouse of going to, you know, Christian music radio or worship platforms or different things of that nature. You know, we just have different places that we're supposed to be. And so, yes, I'm passionate. Yes, I love music. Yes, I'm involved in music, but I'm involved in it in different levels than most people are. So that's kind of my two cents.
Okay. I got a lot of questions I want to ask you about your album, but I want to back up a little bit. I still want to go back to shelving your gift. And this is why I think it's important, or you called it a crucifixion, which is hilarious. But talk a little bit about that, Matt, because I think what people need to realize, and this is why, because what I saw was you fell away from the Lord in the sense, I hate that term. I don't know if we backslide or fall away, but I think we're just not intimate or we don't allow the Lord in our lives. But I think when we our gift gets squandered or taken away or crucified, whatever we want to call it, it causes us not to walk in who we are. And then what that, I think it does is it shuts us down. And the reason I want to bring that up is I think a lot of people, they know what maybe they're called to do, or they feel it inside of them, but because of fear, they don't do it. So they're really not living out their authentic selves. And when we don't live out who we are, then I think we almost damage that relationship with the Lord in a sense, because we kind of block it. I mean, help me out there, because I know you went through that process and I think you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. And I think a lot of it has to do with the lack of self-preservation, where we're not preserving the gifts and promoting the gifts that are inside of us. But I think a lot of it too has to do with the fact that, you know, what I just alluded to in the previous comment was the fact that, you know, not everybody is going to look the same. And sometimes to the level that we pursue looks different than what is the level of expectation and pursuit. Like we can pursue something and it be the fullest or the utmost pursuit of what we're supposed to pursue. But yeah, others around us look at it and say, oh, that's not enough. Like you're giving up on your gift, or you're doing something that's not exactly what that gift is supposed to look like, because they're looking at the gifts of others that are on full display. They're looking at the gifts of others that have been promoted to high positions. And they say, you know, there's this expectation that what you're doing is not enough.
Yeah, that's good.
The reality is that if we're in pursuit of it at all, if we're dedicating or devoting time to the gifts that we have at all and furthering those gifts or expanding those gifts or growing those gifts in any way, shape, or form, the reality is that it has the ability to unlock us in relationship and intimacy with the Lord. I can be sitting at home. You know, the thing was, during that 10-year period of crucifixion that I like to call it, I completely and totally abandoned music. I wouldn't even listen to the radio at that time. It wasn't that I wasn't leading worship, or it wasn't that I wasn't writing songs. It's that I was not connected to music at all. I despised it. And that's why I call it a crucifixion, because it was almost like it felt as though it was a slap in the face for me to engage with music in any form at all, because I knew that I was laying down something that I was supposed to be involved in. And as a result, the intimacy went away. You talked about intimacy a minute ago. And at the height of what I am supposed to do with music, and when I say the height, and it should be, this is the one thing that is the element of what we do creatively that is universal, and regardless of what platform you're on, regardless of what place that you're at with the ability that you have that God has put inside of you, it doesn't matter if you're ministering to millions or if you're ministering to zero people, the height of what we do with the creative gifts that God has put in us, and when I say height, I mean the pinnacle, is to connect intimately with God.
Amen.
Intimately with God. And if we're not connecting intimately with God, then nothing else matters. And so for me, when I laid down music altogether, what happened was the intimacy with God went away. And when intimacy with God goes away, then every pursuit in relationship with God goes away. And when the pursuit of relationship with God goes away, then the fruit of that relationship goes away as well. And so for me, what happened was the intimacy disappeared, the relationship disappeared, and the fruit of that relationship disappeared in my life. And I looked nothing like Jesus, because I simply laid down the gift that God had given me. And so the most passionate thing that I'm about in regard to the gift that God has given me is sitting down alone with my guitar in the presence of God. And songs are birthed in those moments, but those songs are birthed in those moments, and probably the most effectual point in time that those songs ever manifest in reality is in that moment for me. Now, others experience those songs and things happen for them as well. But for me, nothing is ever greater than the moment that I first sit down and spontaneously write a song in an intimate place with the Lord. And all of my songs start that way. All of them.
You know what, Matt? I've never even brought this up. I don't know if I've ever even had this conversation, but it's kind of a light bulb that just went off though. But you know, our purpose, I believe, that the Lord gives us is to serve others, just like Jesus served. It's, you know, we're called to serve, but you brought up a really great point where you said, our purpose is to connect with the Father. Mm-hmm. And when we use that gift to connect with Him, and kind of like, you know, saying, Father, what do you want to do today with what I'm gifted at, whatever that looks like. And then using, connecting with Him to say, hey, how can I use my gift to serve or to love those around me and what you want to do? And I love that you said that, because it's like your music, all it is just an overflow of the intimacy of the time that you've had with the Father, and you're releasing that for others to experience. And then in, sure. and in turn, they get to experience the love of the Father, or get to connect with Him as well through your gift.
Yeah. It's an overflow of what happens personally, and it should be. All things should be. If you first haven't tested it in the secret place, and you haven't tested the intimacy of it in the secret place, then it's not ready for the intimacy connection of God to others in the secret place that they experience those songs or those gifts or whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be music, but whatever it is that we do with our gift, if it first hasn't been tested in secret with the Lord, then how do you, it's almost like a beta test of something. It's almost like a alpha test of something, where if you're going to release a product and you want it to have the maximum impact and you want it to do what it was designed to do, you first test it in private before it's released in public. And the reality is, with everything that we do, we're first designed to go to the Father. We're first designed to go to relationship with Him. Even Jesus, when He summed up all of the law in the Bible, when the Pharisees approached Him and tried to trap Him and said, what is the greatest law? He said, it's to love God with all of your heart. And then He said, and the second, and it's really important that it's the second place, the second is like it, to love your neighbor just like you love yourself. And if it doesn't go in that order, if you are writing songs or if you are creating whatever it is that you're creating with the purpose of reaching people without first creating it with the purpose of connecting to Father, you're doing it for the wrong reasons, period. You're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Okay. So let's dive into your newest project, Matt. Let's talk about it. Okay. So why don't you tell our audience the name of your newest album and where to get it? And then we're going to dive into the process of it.
Sounds good. So the name of the album is Feels Like Heaven. And it's the title track on the record, and it is available on iTunes, Google Play, Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora. Anywhere you stream music, you can find this record. Self-titled, Matt Dietz, Feels Like Heaven.
Awesome. Okay, so why don't you dive into the kind of the overall vision of the album to start with, like kind of what sparked the vision of what you had for it?
Well, I don't know that we have time to go through the overall encompassing vision of it, but you know, for me, I'll point out a couple of highlights, and I'll start with the title track, Feels Like Heaven. That particular song, and even the cover, we talked about the cover of Galaxy, the cover of this particular album is evocative. It's almost provocative, and it looks like, so just describing the picture of what you see on the cover, it's a man with a like a image negative, except it's not an image negative. It's almost like a you get the picture that it's a, you see the body heat image, because it's a pinkish image and you see the pink and blues, but it's a man who has his hands touching himself on his chest, and he looks like he's naked. And all of that is absolutely intentional. All of it is provocative for a purpose. But that song where it talks about Feels Like Heaven, hit the lyrics to the song go through the five natural senses of human beings and experiencing God with the five natural senses. And what God has really been taking me on a journey of experience and encounter with him over the course of the last couple of years has really led to this particular song. And it's what it's meant to do is evoke encounters of believers and those who would be believers to experience God in every sense that he created us to experience. You know, I heard, I think it was, I want to say it was Dano McCollum who talked about, who's connected at Vacaville, the Mission Vacaville, and also connected at Bethel, the School of the Prophets up there. I think he's the one that said, you know, God created our senses to connect to him. He created us with senses so that we can be sensitive. But what the enemy has tried to do is take our senses and manipulate them into sensuality. We were created for sensitivity, but he's tried to manipulate us to use the senses for sensuality. And so this song, this cover, this track is kind of a throwback into the Song of Solomon, where it's obviously a sensual book of the Bible, somewhat, you know, debated book of the Bible. But it, for me, is the greatest picture of what God is trying to do with all of humanity. It's him in pursuit of humanity for the purpose of love. And God created us with senses to be able to experience him, to know him in ways that we cannot know him with just our mental capacity. You know, we can break him down mentally. We can logically try to define who God is. But the reality is God created us with senses to connect to him on purpose so that we would taste and see that he is good. He even uses that word taste. It is one of our five senses, taste and see that God is good. So that line is actually one of the key lines in the song. But it's all about this experience that says, you know what, maybe heaven and what heaven feels like, looks like, sounds like, smells like, tastes like is actually available on earth right now, right here in this place that God created us to experience him fully here, not just once the transition makes
us
place from here to heaven. So,
hey, I want to tell you this. This was really interesting. So I told you before the show started, I was interviewing Brad McClendon for my book that we're releasing next year.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the process. So I've never heard this. It was really interesting. So Brad is one of the most prophetic people I've ever met. Really hears clearly from the Lord. He's got a crazy testimony. I don't know if you knew this or not or listened to it, but he was a professional golfer.
Yeah.
Had an encounter with God and literally forgot like completely how to golf. Like the next, he was on tour playing. And then like the next day, like his gift literally went away. It was gone. Mm-hmm. And he said it was the most embarrassing, crazy thing that ever happened to him. But that being said, this is what interesting. You're talking about senses. So he said he had a dream and the Lord had showed him that in the dream, there was this image. I can't remember what he was telling me though, but it was really distorted. It was like kind of retarded looking, if that's mm-hmm. the right word, or just, it was manipulated. And he said, Lord, who is that? Or what is that? And he said, it's you. And he said, you've overused your gifting to hear me and you haven't utilized your other senses to hear what I'm doing. And he said, well, what do you mean? So he said the Lord literally took his gifting away of hearing him. And what he realized was then he started tasting, smelling, and feeling not just God's presence, but demonic activity at the same time. And the Lord was teaching him how to use all five senses to experience the spiritual realm. It's a crazy, like you listen to it and you're just like, but what I love about it is if you were listening to Brad, he's like the most practical, down to earth.
Yeah.
Person. He's not like overly spiritual. So like when you're listening to him, it just, it was phenomenal. So it just made me think about that. We're putting it in our book, but it was just, I never really thought about that, but like he said, there's all this more experience, like what you're talking about in your song, that it's not just about hearing God's voice, but it's tasting and feeling and seeing, experiencing. There's so much more to it than just trying to hear.
Yeah, definitely. And honestly, that's what the whole purpose of that song is, outside of my personal experience with the Lord. It is meant to evoke a conversation, a personal conversation, a self-conversation with the hearer or the listener of the song that says, oh man, maybe there is more to God. Maybe there is more to the supernatural. Maybe there is more to heaven than I've allowed myself to experience here right now in this realm of earth. And I need to really tap into it. And it's meant to evoke that conversation. So those who listen to it are like, wow, I've never thought about that. I never thought about having that heavenly experience right now. It feels like heaven. Okay, maybe this is what heaven looks like. Maybe this is what heaven feels like. Maybe this is what heaven sounds like and tastes like, smells like, all of those things. So,
okay. So that's kind of the overall vision. What was some of the process? I know you worked on this for a while. What is the process for you, writing music? How do you write?
So I'll take, for example, one of the other really interesting songs on the record. It's different. It's more a song of honor than it is a song of worship. Even though I consider the album a worshipful or a worship album. And it was a song that I wrote with a guest that you've had on your show before, Todrick Murray.
We love Todrick.
So Todrick actually produced the record for me, or the majority of the record. And he and I were sitting down in the studio one day talking about how I saw this record being produced. And so ultimately, one of the things that we went for was the utmost creativity. Like, there were no restraints, no boxes. We took every limitation that music, especially in Christian culture, has on it, off of what we were creating, and said, hey, there is no limit on this. I don't care what the idea is. Let's pursue it and see what comes of it. And in the process of talking about that and what the record was going to look like, I shared with him a vision of what I felt like the Holy Spirit had shown me about what was happening when I was writing songs. And this is going to seem a little weird until I have the full explanation out. But the word talks about how we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, right? It specifically says that there's a great cloud of witnesses who's looking on with prayerful anticipation of what God is going to do next in our lives on earth. And that's referring to the saints that have gone before us that are now at the throne room, the literal throne room of God in heaven right now. And as I was meditating on that passage and thinking and contemplating on that passage, the Lord said, you know, Matt, you'd be surprised with this new sensitivity that you have to hearing me and hearing the activities of heaven, how many times you've tapped into a physical supernatural reality that is taking place in heaven, and songs that are still being written in worship to me, and you're listening in with your sensitivity, and in the process partnering with saints that have gone before who still want to have effective nature on earth. They wish they still had the ability to write songs and lead people to my presence on earth. And just by listening into what's going on in the heavenly realms, you're writing songs, and you didn't even know it to this point. You're writing songs with some of the most profound songwriters the world has ever known. And I thought, man, that is mind blowing. Like, I had to really take several days to really meditate on that, think on that. And I'm sharing this song, or not this song, I'm sharing this idea with Todrick in the studio. And I said, you know, I just feel like this record is so much bigger than me. It's so much bigger than you. It really is a culmination of so many saints who have gone before that really still want to and desire to make impact on earth. And I feel like not getting into any kind of necromancing type relationship with what you know, playing with conversations with the dead. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is tapping into heavenly experiences, real realities, real supernatural realities that are having a profound impact in heaven right now, tapping into those things and drawing that into earth. And it was like this permission that came over me. And so what happened was Todrick took that conversation, went and started a song, which is called Kingdom Come. And it's one of the tracks on this record that he started writing. He said, "Hey, man, you stirred something in me. I started writing this song. What do you think?" And I said, "Man, I love it." And we finished the song. We co-wrote the song together, put it on the record. And it's probably one of the most interesting tracks that I've ever heard. It almost sounds like a, what you would call a Negro spiritual type song, because it has that sound. And obviously Todrick's Black, so he has some of that heritage and some of those roots. And it came through, but the whole song talks about this process of this old man who's speaking to me, and he's saying, and it looks like this torch that's being passed from one generation to the next, to the next. And then the old man goes on, he turns into dust, but from the dust, he's still crying out with this song. And then there's a line in the song that says, "I'll sing your song until your song sets my voice free." And what it does is it encapsulates this idea that everything we do is in partnership with generations who've gone before us, generations who are before us still living on this earth, and that there's supposed to be this unity where we work together. And it's probably one of the most intellectual songs that I've ever written, intentionally intellectual, because we really thought this whole thing through. But it, not every song is that way, but that particular song really took this intellectual spin. Like, we really need to meditate on this. We really need to think on it. What is it that we're trying to communicate? What is it that we're trying to convey? And I think to the natural listener, somebody who listens to the song, they may not get every detail of what I just communicated, because it's impossible to communicate with that many words, that few or little words in a short time span, everything that I'm conveying now. But I think the listeners, as they listen to it, will get a general gist of what the song is communicating, this partnership from generation to generation to generation, that songs are bigger than us, melodies are bigger than us. And by tapping into the senses, like what we were talking about with the first song, Feels Like Heaven, there's so much more that we are unaware of, that we walk through life unaware of, that I believe personally that there are partnerships that, you know, if we really intentionally tapped into what is happening in the heavenly realms, we would see incredible things on earth. So
I want to back up just a little bit. You had mentioned like kind of stepping into heaven. You talked about secret place, different things like that. I want you to explain that a little bit. So we have a very broad audience. I have people that are obviously Catholic and Baptist and Pentecostal, and I mean, yeah, been around church your whole life. So for some people that are listening, like, they get that, like, it doesn't sound weird. And for some people, maybe with a more conservative or traditional background, that sounds literally wacky, right?
Absolutely.
And I get that, and I'm okay with that, because I've been on both sides of the aisle. I also understand. Why don't you kind of dive into that and explain that a little bit, because I think people need to recognize that God is an experience. It's not just a book that we read or a figure that we learn about. I don't know how to convey. I don't even know what I'm asking, except the fact that I just kind of dive into that a little bit, because I think for some people that sounds weird.
No, it does. It is weird.
Well, yeah.
Because it's supernatural. So there's super on the natural. And so it totally sounds weird. And of all people, I completely get that. And I understand, because I grew up, my background is Baptist. My dad was a Baptist pastor, still is to this day. And so I come from a background where, you know, not only was there not permission to pursue into that, but there was a real label that was on it that said that it's probably not God. And what I've come to in personal experience, through personal experience, is that I've given myself the permission to say, you know what, I'm tempered by truth. I'm tempered by the word of God, because that was the foundation of how I was raised. I was raised to trust the word and trust nothing else. And as a result, what it did is it really limited for me, personally limited my relationship with God. And so I've transitioned into something that is, okay, I'm tempered by truth. I have a really solid foundation. I'm going to give myself permission to believe that it could be God. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give myself permission to believe that God wants relationship. He doesn't want me to have a relationship with the Bible. He wants to have a relationship with me personally. That the Bible is a roadmap that gives me boundaries and restrictions on what is safe and what is real and what is true. And the more I begin to look into what Scripture really said for myself, I find vision trips that John the Revelator is having. I find vision trips that Peter is having. I find vision trips that Paul the Apostle is having, and recognizing and seeing these guys are having heavenly supernatural encounters that I've not been permitted personally to pursue, because those types of things have ceased. And the reality is they didn't cease, the permission to pursue those things ceased.
That's good.
And a lot of it is due to the fact that at some point or another, it was abused, or it went too far the one direction or the other, and people didn't have covering. They didn't have relationship with one another. They didn't have accountability to say, hey, let's put this in check. Let's test this and see if it's true, if it's real or not. And they weren't willing to subject themselves. For me personally, I'm subjected to spiritual authority. I've got covering. I've got connectedness. I stay connected. And I think it's a really dangerous thing to not be connected and to not be subjected to those types of authorities and say, hey, what do you think about this? And so everything that I've even mentioned today, I run it by people that I spiritually have a great deal of admiration for, and I know they're going to shoot straight with me and tell me the truth. And so I run it by them. What do you think? I'm thinking on this. This, I feel like, is a revelation from God. And I'm like, wow, that's really good. I think that's right on. Let me think on it for a couple of days and I'll get back to you. And the reality is that I think everything that is foreign to us, because we've had this block that said we weren't permitted to go, and it wasn't a godly block. It wasn't a God parameter. It wasn't a God boundary. It was a man parameter, a man boundary that said, don't go beyond this limitation. What it did is it was a disservice to us, that disallowed us from true personal encounter and relationship with God. And so honestly, the whole purpose of this record is to open that up. It's open the conversation. Hey, let's give ourselves a little more grace in this. Yes, temper it with truth. Yes, test it. Yes, but I think there's more out there that we are not encountering, because it is supernatural. It's not natural, and it's always going to be weird. It's always going to be different because it's foreign to us. So just because it's foreign or just because it's weird does not mean it's not God. God is not us. He is not natural. He is supernatural. And so the things of God are foreign to us. And the more we encounter him, I think we're going to find that it does have a little bit of a weird edge to it. It does feel a little bit strange, but it's just because we've never been there before. We've never been to that place. And the deeper we go, the less that seems foreign, and unless it seems strange, because we've been invaded by heaven. And the reality is heaven does look like earth to some degree, because the Bible talks about how heaven is there's a heavenly Jerusalem, and that earth is the second heaven, or it's the second Jerusalem of God. So there are some similarities. But the reality is that the fullness of God in heaven, unlimited, is the same fullness that's in us, but we've put some limitations on it. Yeah. And it's time we start taking the restrictions and limitations on it off, so that we can experience God fully.
I like that, man. That's good stuff. Okay. So during the process, we talked a little bit about vision and process. What really inspired you to write this newest album?
A lot of things, but personally, I have a small life group of some really amazing, godly, God-fearing prayer warriors. I got suckered into doing a intercession life group, and I wanted nothing to do with it when we first started it.
It was a God setup?
It was a divine setup, and I've tried to push it away 3 or 4 times and finally got sucker punched into doing it, but it was a God sucker punch. And I thought, you know, I don't want to do anything with it. Intercession, that's going to be a bunch of old ladies. And the old ladies that are listening to this podcast are going to laugh because I've told them this face to face. I said, I didn't want to do this. I thought it was going to be a bunch of old ladies. And it is. There are a bunch of older women, but they're the most powerful, anointed women of God with the hugest hearts, most pure motives that I've ever experienced in my life. And they're powerful. But in those times where we go to just pray and just worship and just see what God would say about circumstances that are going on culturally, on the world level, on the national level, on the state level, on the municipal level, we're seeing God do things through prayer because prayer is effective. Bible calls prayer effective. He calls his church a house of prayer. And so we go intentionally just to pray. But in those times and in those moments, what happens is a lot of what we see or experience God doing and the answered prayers that come from those moments become the source file for what I write. They become the living source file for what I write. And I'm writing even spontaneous songs in those moments in response to what God is doing through our prayers and what we're seeing happening. And it has been amazing. There's a song on the record that was actually written. I have the audio file of when the song was written in this life group, and it's called Whatever You Want to Say. And it was a moment, it was a spontaneous moment where we were just submitting ourselves to the Lord saying, God, what do you want to say in this moment? Like, we don't even know what to pray about. We don't know what to pursue. We want to partner with you, but we need you to speak. And in the moment, this spontaneous song came out. God, whatever you want to say, 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 God, we are listening. And it's super simple, super, super simple, but it is so profound at the same time. The verses were written with a guy named James T. Lee in Nashville, Todd Stanley, Jonathan Fry. I took the song that was written in this intimate place, and we added verses to it. And it says, you know, the first verse says, Fathers, come and still our busy hands, come and still our restless hearts. And it's all about, okay, let's take a breather. Let's settle into what you want to say. Like, let's remove all the distractions. And so what I find is that if I kind of open my senses, like we talked about with the first song, and I participate in every moment around me, then every moment around me begins to become motivation or source files, like I was talking about for the songs that I write.
Okay. I want to, as we wrap up the show, for the sake of time, I'd love to end on a story. I've had the pleasure personally of, you've told me several stories of things that have happened going back to your life group, which obviously has been an inspiration for you to write some of your songs. Why don't you share with our audience, we'll end it with a story of something maybe that you guys, you called your group of old ladies. And I love that. I always, when you say that, I think of Casey, her grandma's just a prayer warrior, man, just the magnitude and the power she brings to her family. But talk about an instance where you guys prayed for something and then it happened and you just saw something crazy happen. So I know you got several, but knock our socks off, buddy.
Oh gosh. We've prayed for everything from hurricanes, category 5 storms that are hurricanes, turned them into tropical storms. Literally prayed those types of things and they've happened. But one story that stands out specifically for me is, we were praying one Monday night. We meet on Wednesday nights now, but this was a Monday night, and we were praying, and somehow, I don't even remember how the topic got brought up, but somebody said, man, I just feel really compelled that we need to pray for these. There are 40 women being held captive in Iran, and they're being held captive by ISIS types. And we just said, okay, let's go after it. And we just began to pray, and people begin to have what we talked about a minute ago, these vision encounters, these Paul or Peter or John the Revelator type vision encounters, where they begin to see women huddled in a group, in a circle, with captors surrounding them, holding guns. And they begin to have these visions of what was actually literally taking place. And then they begin to pray into each man that was present holding these women captive, and praying love and compassion and empathy into the hearts of these men. And we just prayed over each and every single man. And we prayed for 2 hours. Man, we went after it. Literally within 24 hours, and I'm not joking, this is not a lie, within 24 hours of praying hardcore into that situation, not one, not two, not a few, all 40 of those women were released from captivity. And this has been a couple of years ago now, a year and a half ago that this happened. But we have had situation after situation that's just like that. And I am just audacious enough to believe that our prayers as a group, were the thing that released and unlocked that situation for those women to be released from captivity. And it, man, I talked about the faith level rising in a room or in a group when you see prayers like that, of that level and of that magnitude answered. And I'm not demeaning any of the prayers that we prayed, but when something like that happens, and within 24 hours of people coming together to pray, man, talk about faith rising. It has to feel like what Paul felt like, or what Peter felt like when they were released from prison. When the people that were praying for them were praying for them and they were released from prison, it had to feel exactly like that. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
I love that, man. It just gets me excited. There's nothing better than hearing a God story. I mean, I brought that up the other day on one of my shows. I said, I just feel like the Bible is just a collaboration of people like you and I, where they're going through life and they experience trials and tribulations. And it's nothing short of God showing up and doing amazing things in people's lives over and over and over because of his deep desire and his love for us.
Yeah, man, that's what it's all about right there.
So, all right, Matt, one more time, why don't you tell us the name of your two albums, where to find them, and then also how people can get a hold of you if they want to have you come maybe lead worship or even just talk to you about things you've talked about as well.
Actually, the Galaxy record is inactive, so you can't get it unless you contact me and then I can get you some of the material. It's possible that I'm going to be putting out a few of the tracks on that album as an EP, just re-release them, but it's not available anymore. The Feels Like Heaven is available, like I said, on any of your streaming platforms. You can purchase it on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Music. You can stream it on Apple Play. Any of the Spotify, Pandora platforms that are available, you can find it there. Shazam it, whatever you want to do. It's available.
Shazam it.
To get a hold of me, probably the best thing to do would be to go to either my Instagram or Facebook. Instagram is at Matt A. Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z. Facebook is Matt Dietz. Find me there. And PM me, private message me, and be glad to do some songwriting with people or come out and do some worship or whatever. Love to do that. So,
hey, it'd be fun. I could just give out your phone number on worldwide web, right? Like right now, just give out your phone numbers.
Let's do it.
I love it. All right, Matt, why don't we end on just the last piece of parting advice that you give our audience?
Connect with God today. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Find a space that, you know, I talked about the secret place. Find a place where you can get away from all of the distractions, everything that's going on, and get alone. There's no pressure to perform. There's no pressure to read your Bible. Just permission, instead of pressure, get into a permission of experiencing God for who he is and allow him to open up your senses, every one of your senses, to trust him, to allow yourself to love him and let him love you the way that he created you to be loved.
Love it, man. Love it. Love it, Matt. Thank you so much for taking the time coming on and just sharing your experiences, especially with your group process of songwriting and all that, man. So just want to honor you and just thank you so much for taking the time to do that.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you. Love you, man.
Love you too. Hold on just a second as we wrap up the show. Roar Nation, man, take Matt's advice. Just connect with God right now, whether you're in your car listening to this at the gym, got your headphones on, something, man, just take a minute and just say, God, what are you doing right now? What is it that you want to teach me? Show me something. And I don't, man, you could be at your house getting ready, in the car, at the gym. Like I said, God wants to connect with you on a deep level and wants to experience your day with you because of the love that he has for you. So Roar Nation, we love you. Please reach out to us. Send us messages, connect with us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. I love hearing your stories and what you're doing. So remember, y'all, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.